Charlie, Alan and Jake are sitting around the breakfast table. Jake's playing on his portable games console. He quickly lifts it above his head and sticks his face into his cereal to take a mouthful.
Jake, use your spoon.
Can't. I'll die.
If you don't turn off that music, you'll die anyway.
Fine.
Jake puts his headphones on without plugging them in. Charlie looks bemused. Alan plugs the headphones into Jake's console.
That's better.
You know he's still going to be living here when he's like 30.
My big fear is he'll still be in fifth grade.
Hello, anybody home? Grandmommy's here.
Charlie and Alan sneak out, leaving Jake still glued to his game.
Where's my grandson?
Noticing his grandma, a shock, Jake hides under the table. Charlie, Alan and Jake, dressed in tuxedos, do a routine with top hats. Alan drops his. In gold and white letters, the title, Two and a Half Men.
So, Mom, to what do we owe this unexpected,
pleasure?
No, that's not it.
She shakes her head.
I was showing a house in the neighborhood and I thought I'd visit the people I love.
And they weren't home?
Alan and Charlie exchange smiles. Alan catches his mum, Evelyn, staring at him and shrivels back. Evelyn studies a newspaper.
Ooh, goody. There's a four-bedroom Tudor on Stone Canyon that's going on the market soon.
How do you know?
Owner dropped dead of a massive heart attack. You know what they say, darling. Today's obituary is tomorrow's exclusive listing. Ooh, father of five in Westwood. I'm on fire.
You will be soon.
Mom, you're not setting a very good example here.
Why? Jake, honey, your grandmommy performs a very important public service. When people die, their families are very, very sad, and they have no idea what their homes are worth.
And you tell them?
Oh, you are so cute!
She tugs his cheek.
And grandmommy doesn't just prey on the dead, Jake. She also profits from the pain of divorce and the humiliation of bankruptcy.
Not to mention, she's working on an alternative fuel made from puppies.
Oh, my God. Harry Gorski died.
Oh, no. Are you sure it's him?
How many Harry Luther Gorskis do you think there are in Los Angeles?
Well, there's one less now.
What are you talking about?
He was Uncle Charlie's and my stepdad.
The first of three and not one of my favorites.
I liked him.
Oh, please, you were six. You still liked Mom.
Alan sees Evelyn's crying.
Mom, are you okay?
No, I'm not okay. He was a good man. And part of my life, and now he's gone. I just pray he died peacefully. And held on to that stately six-bedroom, four-bath colonial in Hancock Park. office/guest room over the garage.
Through her tears, she circles the article in the paper. Later, in the lounge...
Okay, let me get this straight. First it was your dad, then this guy Harry who just died, then the fat guy with the carpet business.
No. The fat guy came after the twitchy gay guy from Texas who gave us crew cuts and called us buckaroos.
So, out of the three, Harry was definitely the best.
I like the fat guy, remember? With the chubby daughter who was so grateful. All you had to do was knock on her door with some Turkish taffy.
Be that as it may, he was still a very good father to us.
Oh, please, he was a little tyrant. Sit up straight. Do your homework. Quit forging my signature on hotel bills.
Okay, then. The funeral is tomorrow. I think it would be appropriate for us all to go and pay our respects.
I don't know. Tomorrow's not good for me.
Oh, Charlie. The man was your father.
No, he was not. Why do you care so much? You divorced him.
Just because you divorce a man doesn't mean you no longer have feelings for him.
That's true. Judith still has feelings for me.
Pity is not really a feeling, Alan.
Alan stares at his brother.
Regardless of our feelings, we'll still go and say our final goodbyes to Harry.
I'm not going.
Me neither.
Well, fine. You can stay here with Uncle Charlie.
Cool.
Yeah, cool. Why do you want to go?
I think it's the right thing to do, and I liked Harry.
And he liked you.
I know. We've stayed in touch over the years.
What? You betrayed me by communicating with that son of a bitch after I divorced him?
Wait a minute. You said that...
I know what I said. I was just being polite because the guy's worm chow.
All I did was send him Christmas cards and the occasional picture of Jake.
You never send me a picture of Jake.
He's right here.
And when was the last time I got a Christmas card?
Wait a second. I'm on your side. Charlie's the one who doesn't want to go to the funeral.
I don't even know if I want you to come now. You've ruined it.
How can you ruin a funeral?
I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Where are you going?
Neiman's. I'm going to need something black.
Doesn't your soul qualify?
She stares at Charlie.
Laugh now, but when I die, I will be coming back to haunt you.
She storms out.
How will that be any different than this?
Alan, dressed in a black suit, comes into the lounge, adjusting his tie.
Okay, Jake, I'm going to pick up your grandmother.
Okay.
He's glued to his game.
You think maybe you played that enough for one weekend?
Okay.
Might as well just buy him a crack pipe.
Let's get this over with.
You coming to the funeral?
Yeah, well, I thought about it, and I realized that even if I didn't like the guy, that shouldn't stop me from going to his funeral and, you know, taking a victory lap.
Charlie, you're not going to want to hear this, but you're starting to sound a lot like Mom.
Tread lightly.
Jake, you're coming with us.
I don't want to.
You sure? You get to see a real dead guy.
There's going to be a dead guy? Where?
At the funeral.
Oh, cool. Can I come?
Did I say he was going to be living here until he's 30? I meant forever.
What are you talking about?
Alan looks resigned.
Go put on your nice clothes.
Okay.
Alan shakes his head.
He doesn't know what nice clothes are.
In the car, Jake's in the passenger seat playing on his console. Charlie and Evelyn sit in the back.
Jake?
Oh, right.
Jake plugs in the headphones. Evelyn swigs from a hip flask.
Isn't it a little early to start drinking?
Would you like a snort?
That's what I meant.
Charlie closes his eyes as he takes a swig.
Thanks.
You okay, Mom?
I just can't believe he's gone.
Isn't that where we're going to the funeral? To make sure?
I'm confused. If you cared for Harry so much, how come you left him?
Yes, well, about that.
She takes another drink.
I may have glossed over the details with you boys, just a skosh. I didn't actually leave Harry so much as he left me.
You're kidding.
He met a younger woman and just traded me in.
You still loved him, didn't you?
Uh-huh. I loved him very much.
Charlie watches as Evelyn starts crying.
Oh, Harry. My sweet dear Harry.
All right, lovely!
Alan glowers at Jake, who beams and pumps his fist. At the funeral, they enter a room full of other mourners.
So where's the dead guy?
Jake, show a little respect.
Where's the dead guy, sir?
In the chapel. Now keep it down.
I think I can smell him.
Evelyn spots a curly-haired woman.
Oh, Lord. There she is.
Who?
The tramp who stole my husband.
Charlie checks her out.
Not bad. Not good. I'm gonna go mourn.
Yeah, me too.
Stay put. Mommy needs you.
Hello, Evelyn.
Hello, Christine. This is my son, Alan.
Hello.
And who's this little guy? Your grandson?
I'm just here to see the dead guy.
Yes, I've been blessed with both children and grandchildren. How about you? Oh, wait, I remember. You were slightly less fertile than a sand trap.
We're very sorry for your loss.
It's not my loss. He left me for that tramp over there.
A blonde talking to Charlie.
She doesn't look very unhappy, does she?
She just met him. Wait a week.
They gaze over at Charlie.
I think it's the responsibility of we, the living, to carry on, to live life to the fullest, embrace it. Kiss it on the mouth, if you will.
Excuse me, Charlie. Can I talk to you for a minute?
Sure. Heather, this is my brother, Alan. He lives with me at my beach house in Malibu.
Hi.
I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
Alan came to live with me at my Malibu beach house when he lost his wife. It's a healing house.
My wife isn't really dead.
Because you heal.
They glare at each other.
At my Malibu beach house. And when you think about it, Harry isn't really dead either. He lives right here. In all of us.
Thank you.
Good. Let go. It's good to let go.
Charlie?
Excuse me a moment. What? What? You're hitting on the widow. No, I'm consoling the widow. I won't start hitting on her till they close the lid. Unbelievable. How do you sleep at night? Usually drunk and on top of somebody. But that takes work, Alan. It doesn't just happen by itself.
Well, here's an idea. Why don't you run downstairs to the embalming room and see if you can score a couple of fresh ones off the truck?
Excuse me, but considering your ex-wife, I'd say you're the expert on having sex with cold women who don't move.
Nevertheless, you can hit on women anywhere. Well, why'd you bother to come to the funeral?
I don't know. I just did.
That's it? No reason?
Do you have a reason for everything you do?
Yes.
So how's that working out for you?
I know how difficult it must be, rambling around all by yourself in that big, drafty, six-bedroom colonial with the guest room slash office over the garage.
Harry gave me a pot-bellied pig.
So you'd remember him, sure. But I know Harry would want you to move on, and this is the perfect time to move on, because this is a seller's market.
Excuse me.
Can we talk to you a minute?
Pardon me, dear. What? I'm working here.
That woman just lost her husband.
Alan? The man was 50 years old when she was born.
So?
So she had to see it coming.
Wow, even for you, that is really cold. Oh, Mr. Graveside Nookie weighs in. 5 minutes ago, you were trying to give the widow a sympathetic crotch to cry on.
Hey, watch your mouth. This is a solemn event.
Yeah, Alan, show a little class.
Me?
I'm the only one here behaving appropriately. Hey, where's Jake?
The chubby, besuited Jake peers into the chapel, where the top half of the coffin lid is up. He strolls down the aisle towards the coffin and prepares to take a look inside. Alan's come in.
Jake?
How do you know my name?
Jake backs away from the coffin.
It's okay.
Okay? I almost pooped my pants!
What are you doing?
Jake shrugs.
Just wanted to see.
Oh, okay. Well, let's take a look.
Really?
Yeah. Come on.
They walk together up to the coffin and peer inside.
Whoa.
What do you think?
I don't know. How'd he die?
He just got old. His heart stopped.
Huh. His watch is still going.
Yep.
Why would he need a watch anyway? It's not like he's gonna be late for anything.
Okay, there are other people waiting to pay their respects. Why don't we go find Grandma?
Alan ushers Jake away and looks back into the coffin.
I don't care what anybody says. I always thought you were a good guy.
Thanks, Alan.
Alan frowns and turns round to see his son, Jake.
Want to know what time it is?
Jake beams. His dad looked unimpressed.
Let's go.
They pass Charlie in the aisle.
How's he look?
Dead.
Cool.
Charlie strolls up to the coffin, checks the chapel is empty, and looks inside at Harry.
Surprise.
He puts his hands in his pockets.
Listen, I just wanted to tell you that I've been thinking about it, and maybe some of the stuff between us may have been my fault. I was angry about losing my dad, and I guess you were the guy I took it out on. Anyway, not that it makes a lot of difference at this point, but I just wanted you to know that I'm sorry.
Charlie makes to leave, but turns back and looks into the coffin.
By the way, I'm going to take a shot at your wife.
He continues looking at Harry.
But that's just a guy thing. Nothing personal, okay? I'll take that as a yes.
Later, people fill the pews in the chapel.
And so, with every door that God closes, he opens a window.
Did he say today window or widow?
Alan elbows him.
Even as we say goodbye to our beloved friend, Harry Luther Gorski, we know that he lives on in all of us.
Are we all enough?
Okay.
If you need anything, I'm right here.
Thank you. That's very comforting.
Charlie sits back in his pew and smiles smugly at Alan.
For everything, there is a season. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to reap, a time to sow. So, at this time, I would like to invite anyone who wishes to say a few words about Harry to come up and share them with us.
Evelyn stops Christine.
As always, I'll do him first.
Mom, bad idea.
Hey, if I didn't get into bad ideas, you wouldn't be here.
Dad.
Yeah?
I can't find my Game Boy.
Not now, Jake.
Alan drinks from his mother's hip flask.
Hello. Welcome to Harry's funeral. I haven't seen him so drained of bodily fluids since our honeymoon.
Everyone looks shocked.
Why? I thought I'd open with a joke.
Charlie stand for the hip flask.
My name is Evelyn Harper. Or, as dear Harry used to call me, his sweet little sugar tushy.
Alan takes another drink.
When I first met Harry, I was just a hot young widow with bills to pay who could lick the chrome off a trailer hitch. I also had two small boys, one of whom Harry cared for very deeply. The other one was Charlie. It wasn't easy being a substitute father, but Harry gave it his all. Unfortunately, it wasn't enough, which is probably why he looked for solace in the arms of a cheap slut. Stand up, Christine. Let everybody have a look at you.
Christine looks embarrassed, but, wearing her short skirt, stands up and waves awkwardly.
Take a good look, Heather. That's going to be you someday. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm being disrespectful to the grieving widow. But listen, you want to talk grieving? I'm grieving. I love this man with all my heart, and you left me, you lousy bastard. Well, take a good look. I've still got a great ass, and yours is decomposing as we speak. Thank you.
Okay, that was beautiful.
Time to go.
Dad, what about my Game Boy?
Forget it. Just keep walking.
And so, let's take a moment of silent prayer for our friend Harry.
As the minister closes the coffin lid, the mourners look round for the source of the music. Alan returns and rigidly moves down the aisle.
I am really, really sorry.
Alan walks towards the coffin and then, looking flustered, raises the coffin lid a touch. He sticks his arm in and feels about. Everyone's watching him.
Got it! It's my kids. I don't know, maybe I spoil him. Okay, bye.
Alan runs out of the chapel. Later, the family are in the car.
Boys, when I die, I want a simple funeral. No tears.
Done.
You got it.
And I want to be buried next to your father.
Dad was cremated, Mom.
Oh, yes, right. I was thinking of someone else.
So I take it you'd rather be buried than cremated?
Can't we do both?
I want to be buried on the side of a hill, nestled amongst the willows, overlooking the ocean.
Do we get to pick the ocean?
And I want an unadorned headstone, which reads simply, Evelyn Harper, loving wife, devoted mother.
That's good.
Open with a ITFC audio description.
Men, 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 manly men, men.